Are you ready for this? I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. It's just an interesting topic for today, and we're gonna focus on the wives. So, if I could just ask the guys to just leave and go out and, you know, have a hamburger someplace, go down to the. I know this is for us. In more ways than you understand. This is for all of us. This is for your family. This is for the glory of Christ. And I want to say this morning, just before we even start, that nothing that I say today, nothing that I even said last week that you may not even have remembered, but none of it makes sense unless you love God. We're not just kind of giving some rules to live by. I am not the mafia. I'm not going to go around and check on you that way. This is between worshipers and God. Okay, what we have to say today. You don't love God if you're not committed to Him and His word. Then nothing I say is going to set well with you. You're going to go, this is crazy. This is not what our world is teaching. This is not the modern age. This is not, doesn't work. This is stupid. And, but if you believe that there's a God in heaven and you love Him and you leave this place with a sense of God is the Lord of my life, and I will arrange my life under Him no matter what He says. If you're a husband here today and you love the Lord and you say, I'm going to love my wife the way Christ loved the church, why? Because God is the one who calls His people to live in that way. And whatever we say about the roles between husbands and wives in marriage, the ultimate thing is, do I love God? And will I submit my life, my behavior, my attitudes, my family relationships to Him? It's a huge question. It's a bigger question than any details that we have to share today. So the question will be, do you love God? Really, do you love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind? And do you have respect for the communication that He has given to us as His people in how we should live, how we should go about our day? So let's pray. Father, I pray that You would, for all of us, husbands and wives and families, I pray that we would first of all, love You with all of our heart. First of all, be committed, consecrated to You and to Your will and Your ways in our lives. Lord, the world desperately needs to have examples and models. And I pray that You would use Your word today to help us all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. First of all, so whatever I have to say today, it's impossible to fulfill it. It's impossible to fulfill it every day. We are not perfect. We are not the church on the hill that does it all right. We have problems. We have messed up. If we had to turn the clock back, we might do things differently, but we're not an elite group of people in any way, because we can all look back and see things in our life, right, that we wish we had done differently. Anybody here agree with me on that? Yeah. So that being said, we just want to honor God's word. So Ephesians 5, 15. This whole passage about relationships, horizontal relationships begins with God saying through Paul to the church at Ephesus under the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, therefore, to all of us, be careful. Be careful how you walk, how you live, how you get up in the morning and how you spend your day and how you end your day. Be careful about it, how you do that. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. We only have a short time on the earth. We don't have a whole long time. I mean, life races by and pretty soon it's over. And the instruction that we are given through the Apostle Paul here is to be careful how we use the time that God has given us. He says, don't be foolish. Don't be a fool. Don't be someone who closes her or his ears to what God is saying. That's what a fool is. It's someone who is ignoring, not listening to, not making his or her ear attentive to wisdom. It's like, I know best. I'm going to do what all of my friends do. I'm going to do what our culture is screaming. I'm going to just do it my way. That's a fool. And Paul says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. We can't do the will of God unless we understand what the will of God is. And he says, don't get drunk with wine. If that's a temptation for you, pretty clear, God says, don't do that. Don't become a drunk, okay? But instead, what? There it is. Well, first of all, he says, being a continually drunk person is a waste of life. If you can say anything about it at the end, someone who overdrinks they will be wasting time, wasting life. But instead, be continually being filled, controlled with the Holy Spirit. Being controlled, being filled with, being controlled by the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer, right? Every single true believer in Christ is indwelt by the Spirit of God. And so it's our job to connect with Him and allow Him to control and fill us so that we can live in a way that pleases God and that works. So be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks. And then we get to the verse where most Christians in marriages, not you guys, but many Christians stop there and they say, well, that's it. This is all I need to know. It says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And that's how our marriage works. We submit to one another. We are submissive to one another. And they say, well, okay, I guess that's what God requires of both of us. We're both going to be submissive to each other. And in a sense, that's right. I mean, and I believe that submission is a huge part of all of our lives. No one in this room can say, I don't have to be submissive to anyone. Who can say that? How many of you drove your car on the right side of the road this morning when you came to church? How many of you did that? Whether you like it or not, you were submissive to the governing authorities when you came here. And if you drove the speed limit, you were submissive again. And if you turned where your wife told you to turn, I'm being facetious here, but We, all of us, we cannot get along without submission. In fact, if you'll just look in your Bibles, hopefully you have your Bible. Will you show me that you have your Bible? Okay, I see a few here. That's good. That's a good thing. So, who is addressed in verse 22? Wives. That's where we're going to land today, wives. So, but we're not picking on them because in this same context, when we get to verse 25, who's addressed there? Husbands. And when we get down to verse 1 of chapter 6, who's addressed there? Children. So, I would say, John and Sarah, it's your job to make sure they understand that they need to obey you. They need to follow you. They need to surrender their lives, their wills to you while they're growing up, right? What about verse 4? Who's addressed in verse 4 of chapter 6? Can't hear you. Fathers, thank you. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. How about verse 5 of chapter 6? Okay. Does yours say employees? Does it? Wow. What does yours say? Slaves. Same thing, slave, employee. Okay, we could talk about that. But and I think that whether he's really talking about literal slaves or we can make the principle of employment, and then that would work. Okay, how about verse 9? Masters, okay, or employers, okay? So Paul was talking about these submissive relationships all around us. We are all part of, we have to submit. There's a need for children to submit to their parents. There's a need for husbands to love their wives. And really, there is the important idea that every single believer is to be submissive to Christ. Every one of us is called to be submissive and consecrated to Christ, right? So none of us get off the hook. I guess that's where I'm going. But in my opinion, the struggles that are that we have in marriage are, and so chapter 5, verse 21, let's look at that. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. 22, wives, and all it says, if you have a Bible with italics, it probably says, be subject to, it's not in some translations, because in the original languages, the word there, be subject, it just says wives to your own husbands. But it's picking up the idea of subjection from verse 21. So in verse 21, it says be subject to one another. And then it says wives, like we said in verse 21, to your own husbands. And so we're not talking about women submitting to every man. A male does not have the authority over every woman. We're talking about the unique relationship after you say, I do, and that's it. Once the ceremony is over, you are saying, I will, whatever submit means, and we'll look at that in a moment. So wives, be subject to your own husbands, not to every man, but to your husband, as to the Lord. And what I believe that is talking about as to the Lord can be explained by Colossians, and I think it's 3:18. Okay, it says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So there's a sense in which subjection or submission to your husband is fitting. It is an act of worship to God. It's not because a pastor says it. It's not because anybody says it. It's because God ordains it that way. And when we submit, when a woman submits herself to her husband, it is fitting in the Lord. It is unto the Lord. Without getting any specific details, I'm just going to say that there was a situation where my wife was involved in a job and the boss over her was kind of tough circumstances. And kinda is not real, was very difficult every day. And I believe that she was wanting to honor the Lord by the way that she responded to a boss that wasn't that great to her. And so she had to literally go to work and look at her boss and imagine over her boss's shoulder the Lord. And so her response to her boss really was a response to God. And that really defines what is very often involved. Men are not always good husbands, not always loving, not always perfect, really. Do we need to take a vote? Men have a lot of growing and growing up to do in order for us to learn how to love that woman and to love them the way they need to be loved. There's a lot of responsibility there. It takes maturity to become the kind of husband that God wants them to be. And so a woman has to be really patient. I'm pretty sure Kathy had to be and still has to be very, very patient with me, because we're not a finished product. But the commandment of God is, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, you're going to get a piece of paper. I'm just thinking one woman here last week took copious notes and made sure that her husband got the notes. I won't mention her name, but so we have some notes that go along with this lesson as well. But let me just explain that submission to your husband, because God commands you to submit to him. It's the word hupotasso. Hupo means under, and tasso means to place or to arrange. So to submit means I'm going to arrange myself under the authority of my husband. So it's in the, number one, the imperative mood. So God commands it. I didn't command it. I don't command it. God says it. It's an imperative from God. And he says to the wives, submit to your husbands. I am to submit to my husband by my choice. No one is going to force this. No one does force it. No one can force it. Men can't force it on their wives. It is an act of worship between a woman and her God of how I treat my husband. So the first thing is an imperative. Secondly, it is the middle voice. The word hupotasso is in the middle voice, which means I am to submit voluntarily myself to my husband. I voluntarily submit myself to his leadership in our home, in our marriage. That's what middle voice means. Present tense, just like last week, husbands are to love their wives continually. Women are to continually be subject to their husbands. And then finally, I didn't write the Bible, but the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. It doesn't say, husbands, submit to your wives. If you don't like that, you can find the verse that tells me that that's the way it's supposed to be. But the Bible says, wives, submit to your husband. So I am to, number two, I am to submit, you are to submit to your husband as to the Lord, because it is fitting in the Lord. Fitting in the Lord communicates the biblical wife's responsibility. Submit to the Lord as it's the right thing for believing wives to do. The third thing is, submit to your husband in everything. Whoa. In everything, according to Ephesians 5. Everything, we have another saying that says in the Bible, all means all the time, and all is the only thing that all means. Well, everything in the Bible means everything. I'm letting that soak in a little bit. It might raise some questions in your mind. What does that mean? Well, I will say that the Bible says, if you're a woman and your husband is leading you into or demanding something immoral of you, you do not need to submit to him there. Ever. It's not blanket in the sense that as a leader, I can just demand anything of you. If it's immoral, you don't have to worry. If it's illegal, you don't have to worry. I think the Bible seems to teach that both of those are areas where there's not a need for submission. Submission does not include the immoral. Your husband can never call you to break God's laws. Number two, submission does not include the illegal. So God is, so there's the law of the Lord, and then there's the law of the land. There was one time there was a woman who worked for a boss as a secretary, and she just did whatever he asked her to do, but he began asking her to lie for him. And so he would say, well, just tell them when they call, I'm not here, when he was there, or lie for me. And she would not do it. She was a believer. And she said, I'm not going to do something that's wrong. And so he said one day, if you don't do it, I'm going to fire you. And so she said, I can't help it. I can't go along with that. And so he fired her. And then she came home from work that day a little early. And guess who was at home to meet her when she got home? It was her kids. And they're saying, Mom, why are you here so early? What are you doing here? You're supposed to be at work. And she said, well, let me tell you. And so she said, well, I was at work and my boss kept asking me to lie for him and I wouldn't do it. And so he fired me. And they were kind of going, yeah, way to go, Mom. You know, I know you lost your job, but we're proud of you. And then she said, but I'm going to find another job. So she went to apply for a different job, and she came in for the interview. And one of the first things they asked was, well, I see here you are working for this company, but you're not working here anymore. Why not? Well, let me tell you the story. And so I worked for a boss, and you know, he began to ask me to lie and violate the laws of the land, and I couldn't do it, so he fired me. And guess what happened? The boss said, well, that's the kind of person we need in our company or in our business, and she got hired back. But she was firm in her convictions, wasn't she? So number four is submit to your husband with attitudes and actions of genuine respect. You know, many people will say these two complaints. I mean, they're really broad, but a wife will say, my husband does not love me. And the greatest need of a woman is that his wife is loved. And the husband will say, well, my wife doesn't respect me. There's just this, I just feel like she does not look up to me. She does not treat me with respect. She does not follow my ideas, which may be good or may be bad, but there's kind of an attitude in the middle of that. And Ephesians 5:33 says, nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she what? Respects. There it is, love and respect. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect. Honor your husband. I don't know if that's going on in your family. I don't know if it's things are out of whack, and there's been time along the way in your life and you've just kind of settled for whatever works. But God says, husbands, pay attention to your wife. Love your wife. Wives, be submissive to your own husband. And here's another big one. Respect must be shown whether your husband is worthy of that respect or not. That's a hard one. It isn't, I will love you if you're a great husband. I will follow God if you behave and you lead and you love me and you are perfect, or you are, you know, the man of the year. Respect must be shown regardless of your husband's conduct or character. And sometimes it's difficult. I know. And this is a tough one, but 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And beginning with verse 3. And he's talking about wives here. He's not talking about, so it's wives in this context. And he says, your adornment, the thing that you, by God's grace, because you love the Lord, you put on, you wear it, you model it, your adornment must not be merely external. It's not just the physical. It's not the outward. It's not the visible. He says it's the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, the putting on of dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart. So it talks about the wife having the heart, the adornment of the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. It's really talking about an attitude between a woman and her husband, which is precious to whom? It's precious to God. The gentle spirit, arranging herself somehow under her husband as the leader in their home. And I can't change the word of God. I don't want to, but I can't say anything else. The husband is the leader, the head of the home. He has the position, he has the authority, and he has the responsibility before God for the way that he leads his home. So I'm not letting men off the hook here. He is the head, not because he's smarter, not because he's more gifted, not because he's a better businessman, or not because he's stronger and bigger, none of that. It's just by God's decision in the home, the husband is the head and has the authority, but the responsibility before God. Someday, I'm going to stand before God as a husband. He's going to talk about how I was with my wife. He's going to ask about that. He's going to evaluate how I was as a believer in following the Lord and doing what he asked me to do. And wives will be the same. The job of the wife is to arrange herself under her husband with an attitude of gentleness and respect for her husband. Do you respect your man? Man, do you feel respected? Do you feel respected? You may not. And we're talking about the way God set it up, right? So gentle and quiet spirit. Well, I don't know if you have questions. I'm sure you do. I know that life is, we have the model of our parents that we grew up with, which might have been wonderful, or it might have been terrible. And so we have baggage that we bring into our current relationships. We might look out, I hope you don't look out on our culture. I hope you don't watch what Hollywood is trying to say about sexuality and marriage or non-marriage or cohabitation, all those things. I hope we're not looking to our culture. I hope that we are looking at the Word of God and submitting to God because we worship Him. I hope that's the case. I think we know it doesn't take a lot of more explanation. It's more about, do I love God? That's the question for all of us here today. Do I love God? Do I fall on my face before God? Am I submissive to what the Word of God says in my relationship with my wife? And my relationship to the leadership in the church, my relationship to my boss, my relationship to my parents. I mean, we can say it all, but at the core of it, it is, do I worship God? Because none of this makes sense, and we will not do it unless we love God, we love His Word, and we are committed to living our lives His way. This is not cultish. This is not for some cult out there that does it this way. This is the Word of God. This is the Bible. This is the truth of the Word of God and what He expects from us. And God loves the family. And I believe that God's ways work in the family. And I think a man who feels respected and is respected by his wife, and a woman who is loved deeply by her husband, produces an environment under the roof of the house called the home where God's blessing rests. And we can try it different ways, but I believe God's ways work. So I want to close things here, and this was kind of a risky thing, but I was... I once in a while I get a text from someone that I respect, and they shared a text with me, and we're going to play it, and then we're going to play a song too. But this was at Liberty University in Virginia, and I watched this, and I was blown away. We're just going to look a short clip of it, but here are I would say, several thousand students with their own issues, with their own circumstances, with their own needs before God. But I believe that they were worshiping King Jesus. And then we're going to listen to a song together. So let's play it. No sound. Don't blast it. Might have to start over. Technology is always tricky. It always is. You give up? Well, there it is. We got it. I just... I love this. This gives me great hope that there's a sea of people that are worshiping Lord Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to stand right now where you are, and we're going to sing that song, at least some of it. And I looked up the words. I know where the song comes from. It's okay. But it's a song that elevates Christ. And I want to say before we go home that this must be the response of our heart toward God, that if we're going to be the kind of people in our homes, in our marriages, the core, the bottom line, is to worship King Jesus. And the words to this song are wonderful, and I hope you can follow along with this. So go ahead. If you want to sing, go ahead. Worship God.
Darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse is blood atone. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared. Oil the Lord has.
That's going to come up in another minute, so get ready to sing it again. I love it. All hail King Jesus.
There was a moment when the sky lit up. A flash of light breaking through. When all was lost, he crossed eternity. The King of life was on. For in a dark cold tomb, where our Lord was laid, one miraculous breath, and we'll forever cheer. All hail King Jesus, all hail Lord heaven, all hail King Jesus, all hail Savior, all hail King Jesus.
Father, we just bow before you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the victorious, risen Savior of the world. That I just really pray this morning, God, that we would be a people who walk with our heart bowed before you. And that we would live in a way that acknowledges that you are the Lord of the world, that you are the Lord, you are the Savior. In a world that hates Christ and hates believers in Christ, Lord, I pray that we would walk in a way that brings glory and honor to you. I pray, Lord, that men will love their wives because Christ calls us to do that, that we will do it as unto the Lord, that we will do it as service to the Lord, that we will do it and mean it, and that our wives would feel it, and that they would know that they are precious, and know that they are loved, and know that we are paying attention to them. And Lord, I pray that wives would be able to, as unto the Lord, respect their husband and honor him, not because he's perfect, but because he is the head of the home. Pray, Lord, that men will feel the respect that comes from their wives. They will feel it and they will know. And they will understand the role that they play, the vital role that they play in their family. Lord, I want to just affirm again today that your word is true, that your word is a revelation from God, that your word is accurate and it's relevant and it makes sense and it's clear and it's been given to the church so that we might respond correctly to our God. And Lord, beyond these walls, I pray for the homes of our children and of our neighbors and people connected to our family that we know, Lord, we pray that you would just be moving in their lives to help them arrange their lives under your leadership and under your truth. And Lord, we will continue to pray for the health and the well-being and the blessing of God in homes all around us. Lord, we pray for healthy marriages. We pray for restored marriages. We pray for safe homes for children to grow up. And we pray, Lord, for your wonderful blessing in the homes of the people that live all around us here. And thank you for today. Lord, many of us can say thank you for our parents. Thank you for the heritage that we've enjoyed growing up. I just pray, Lord, that we would be the same kind of example to our children and community. So we just thank you in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Okay.